Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's the fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Sam Franco, another hour to go here in the studio with former Georgia head coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. Coach, for folks like Sam, now this is an NFL question. I'm not as, because our buddy Bill Shanks that you know real well too, they hate the New Orleans Saints. They just can't stand the Saints.
Yeah.
I don't hate the Saints, but I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, I'm a Falcons fan, but Sam and these guys are now worried that, you know, the Falcons with all these injuries, they're not going to get to make it to the Super Bowl this year, and they're hosting. What's the worst thing that could happen? Is
we
Drew
don't need
Brees
the Saints
and the Saints
coming. Yeah.
Coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, I just don't see their defense being good enough to get them over the hump. But, you know,
Sam likes that.
All of a sudden they got Ingram back, you know, missed the first 4 weeks. But they got a prolific offense, that's for sure. But I tell you, every week you just see so many good players and so many good quarterbacks. I tell you, the game of the year is going to be next Sunday night after Georgia goes down to LSU on Saturday afternoon. You got the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Patriots with Patrick Mahomes going against Brady. And
is that at New England?
I'm really not sure.
We were talking about that earlier this morning.
I saw them advertise. I think they're playing at New England.
Can you see it on the schedule there, Sam? Next, the 14th? No, I'm sorry, the 21st? Is that right, the 21st? Or is it the 14th?
Oh,
it's this weekend.
And it's in New England.
In New England, okay.
Yeah.
Did you think Mahomes, I mean, what was your thoughts on him when the Chiefs traded
him? Yeah, I tell you,
first
time I ever saw him, and we talked about it last week, was when they played against Oklahoma and that game where he threw for over 700 yards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. We did talk about that.
Just athletic to go with his arm strength. And, you know, his dad, Major League Baseball player, and he's got that moxie about him, you know, being around sports all his life. And they just got a lot of weapons there. I mean, their tight end's really good, and they're, you know, certainly that Hill kid. And hopefully, and we got, you know, the kid from Georgia playing a wide receiver, too, that's doing a good job for him, so Conley. So I think, I don't know. I think L.A., another big game is going to be L.A. Rams playing against the Chiefs in Mexico.
Oh, that's a rough one.
Wonder whose home game is.
Got to play that at altitude too.
Who's losing that home game? Is that a Rams
home
game?
There's been some scary moments in my life on planes and different things. You know, like I told you that time I was in a plane and the dang door opened up on and while we're flying, that scared me. But we were down in Mexico playing in a game with a freshman from UNC. I was kind of a chaperone as assistant coach, and before the game we're out there and these Mexican fans are rocking our bus, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And
they were hooligans.
Our interpreter there with me said they're not trying to scare you, so they're just fired up about you coming in. I said, well, how about tell them to let go?
Wow, that is a little unnerving.
The first thing that happened there on the field though was when we went out there and they're doing their exercises, and you know how everybody, one of the first exercises you do when you break up is everybody starts doing jumping jacks. Uno, dos, tres. I knew where we were, buddy.
Coach, before, you know, I said we look back in the first hour, but I did want to ask you one question before we started looking ahead at the games this week. Program you're obviously still very close to and familiar with, Oklahoma. What's going on since they've moved Mike Stoops out as their defensive coordinator?
You know, you always hate to see anybody lose their job. You know, Mike's been a big part of that program since Bob took over. I mean, he was a D coordinator when they won the national championship. and a lot of Big 8 and Big 12 championships. But then he left and went to Arizona as a head coach and had a okay career. But, you know, when your team's having trouble stopping people like OU has, and, you know, their last two losses, they've scored 45 and 48 points. One of them was against
us.
Rose
Bowl.
But, you know, the offense got to take a little bit of beef here too, because they, you know, the offense was three and out twice in that game, and then they had two turnovers. But I just think their personnel defensively doesn't really give them a shot. They just don't have – if you look at all the top six or seven teams and you look at our defense and Alabama's defense and Ohio State's defense and Clemson's defense, you just don't see those kind of players on OU's defense. I just don't think they have the personnel. But they made that change, and we'll see what happens. And they got a pretty tough schedule left. I mean, they got to play TCU at TCU, and they got to play at West Virginia. And, you know, you always got that game against Oklahoma State. So I don't see them being a playoff team, though, with that defense. They got a terrific offense. But it's a tough deal anytime anybody loses their job.
The Texas Longhorns back in the top 10 after that, too.
Yeah, that's so. Like the saddle on old horse for me, chapping my butt for Texas to be up there. But you got to give them credit. I mean, lose that first game to Maryland looked bad, but their quarterback is a lot like Jake Fromm, probably runs a little bit more, but grew up wanting to be a Texas Longhorn. You know, his dad went to school there, and he was just had a terrific game last week, just over 300 yards passing, maybe 75 rushing, made every play that was there. And, you know, all of a sudden Texas is relevant. I mean, we'll see how they can handle the limelight.
All right, Coach, let's look ahead. Start talking about some of the games coming up this week as the Dogs get set to take on LSU in Baton Rouge. Now, Alabama is a big, big favorite against Mizzou on Saturday night.
I'm surprised it's only 28.
Yeah.
Because Missouri's defense has had trouble all year, you know, giving up a lot of points. And, you know, I guess they think because Arkansas scored some points in the second half that maybe Alabama's defense is not that great. But I mean maybe it's too good to be true, but when you're driving down there to New Orleans and you stop there and at the Beau Rivage, I believe I'd lay a little bit on the at least the first half on Alabama.
Yeah, that's the fact. That's what Sam's going to be doing. He's heading to Biloxi.
Mm-hmm.
So he says he's going to stop off. By the way, it seems what Alabama does in all these games, these point spreads, they have them covered in the first half and then the second half.
That's why you bet the first half.
Exactly, exactly. If you've been betting the first half on Bama this year, you'd be in great shape.
But I think, you know, from a situation there that you don't want to get your guys hurt. Like last week, you know, Vandy gets that token touchdown against us, but you know, as much as you'd like to keep them out of the end zone, it's, you don't want some player in there that you know, a starter getting hurt trying to you know keep the score down. So
you know what, Sam brought this up yesterday, and the more I started thinking about it, I was like, yeah, like for instance, at the end of that game when Mason calls the timeout to run that last play, it's like, okay, you get it. You want to score, maybe get a little just something out of that. But isn't that one of those where you're just like, all right, we're going to run the play here, but we're not going to call a timeout.
Right. I mean, particularly when we had the ball on their 15-yard line and we took our second team out and put our third team in, and we ended up kicking a field goal. That was very nice of Kirby to not run it up there. But I think – They're look, you know, it's hard to tell your players you're not trying to do stuff, and you know, the obvious thing to do would be call timeout, but at the same time, in that kind of scenario, just let the clock go down, and if you score, you score, but you don't call timeout with 2 seconds to go. I don't
Who kicked the field goal with 2 seconds to get to within eight? We were talking about that. There was a game this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody kicked a field goal with 2 seconds.
Well, if it's 2 seconds, then, you know.
But then it's like you're down eight. You can't,
right.
You maybe can't get the ball. Maybe, I mean, if you try the onside kick, 2 seconds.
Maybe the line was nine.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
little coach trying to get some action on
it. Yeah. Well, you got to take care of the home folks.
That's right.
Yeah, but I can't remember who it was that did that. But we were talking about that yesterday. All right.
You always wonder when somebody behind you is yelling out in an obvious situation where you kick the ball and the guy's saying, go for two, go for two. But basically it's because they want
some money on it. Yeah. And I'll say this too, because I don't know, not as many people focus on the over-under, but that touchdown that Vandy scored put it right on the number.
What was the line on the game?
It was 26.5 all week long, and I think it closed about that, and the over-under was 54.
So we covered on the over.
On the point spread, yeah, even with that touchdown. Ohio State, they're at home against Minnesota on Saturday.
You know, they're going to have that guy's slogans, row your boat. He's going to have to row a lot of boats in there against those Ohio State Buckeyes. Their offense is really potent. Haskins having a big year. I think Ohio State's going to run the table. I just don't see anybody. You know, they got Michigan left and Michigan State, but I just don't see anybody really challenging them.
All right, let's see. What else do we have? All right.
You got Michigan and Wisconsin,
yeah,
right?
We're getting to it. I wanted to ask you about the big teams, even though they don't have these, but like Notre Dame throwing that monkey wrench in the playoff. They're hosting Pitt as a big favorite.
Pitt is a team that's up and down, you know. I thought Syracuse would stomp them last week, and they had them 14-0, and they had a rain delay, too, for a long time, and came back and ended up winning in overtime against Syracuse. But I just don't see Pitt having a good enough defense to stop this offense. I mean, I was impressed with the way they really torched Virginia Tech the other night. I think Notre Dame's offense is the real deal.
West Virginia's got a tricky game going to Iowa State.
Yeah, you always worry about playing up there. We've talked about that before. It's just a different – you never do you don't stay in town there at Ames. You stay in Des Moines, and then you ride over there, and you don't see anything for about 45 minutes, and your players start going to sleep and all. But they made a move at quarterback last week. They put that true freshman in, Brock Purdy, from out in the West Coast, and he did a good job, and – they beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State, but I think West Virginia's offense is another team that's just with Will Grier in there. You just look at the preponderance of quarterbacks that have transferred around the country and the imprint they've made on their teams, just incredible. We talked about that a little bit last week too, but these transfer quarterbacks just make a difference. I tell you a game that's going to really intrigue me that you probably hadn't even thought about. I think it's Friday night. It might be Saturday, but UCF at Memphis.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that number 10 UCF.
Yeah, what's the over-under on that one? It's got to be at least 150.
It is. I'll have to find it. It looks like they're playing on Saturday. They played, that epic championship game last year in the American, and – it was several overtimes, wasn't it, I remember correctly? I'm still looking here. It is Central Florida's favored by 4.5 with an over-under of 78. So 42-38 final score there.
Yeah, you never know. That's a lot of points to score, but UCF's got it humming now. Their quarterback, boy, I'm impressed. I mean, those Hawaiian quarterbacks, they got three quarterbacks around the country playing lights out. And that's why.
So Milton's from Hawaii, obviously, Tamu and Tungavaloa. Yeah. What is the deal about Hawaii and these quarterbacks?
And Mariota, too.
Mariota what is the deal?
Well,
the deal? I sound like Seinfeld.
A lot of those kids over there have grown up in that June Jones offense. You know, remember June Jones when he was with the Falcons and then coaching
does Rolovich still do that with their team?
Yeah, so Rolovich was that same type of quarterback, and he played quarterback for Hawaii in the early 2000s. So, but they like that system of more run and shoot instead of just the spread stuff, where they kind of half roll stuff. You know, this year is the 50 year anniversary of when Houston scored 100 points. And you talk about going for two, they had 98 and went for two.
That's terrible. Oh, yeesh.
It's hard to believe.
Was that Jack Pardee?
No, it was after Jack. It was that blonde head. That coach had peroxided his hair.
I know who you're talking about. I'm looking at him, but I can't think of his name.
They ran the running.
You're talking about when they had Klingler? Well, oh, was this before that?
They had Klingler and
Andre
had
Ware.
Andre Ware and all those guys. Who that coach was?
Jenkins?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah, Jenkins.
John Jenkins?
John Jenkins.
Because we had a football player named John Jenkins. Yeah, but his name, yeah.
But,
I think that's
but
right.
But anyhow, who else we got this week?
Let's see here. Oh, we got a couple of good ones I want to get to. Washington at Oregon.
You know, Washington surprised me last week that they didn't win more handily than they would. I think that should be a shootout type game. Two really good quarterbacks, and Washington's quarterback, you know, Browning's good, and so is that the Herbert guy for Oregon. They're both athletic type kids. You know, maybe Browning's not as much of a runner, but I kind of think Washington will win that game.
They're a 3-point favorite in that one. Michigan State's going to number 8 Penn State. Now, Penn State, you know, is it the Penn State that almost beat Ohio State, or is it the Penn State? And don't get me wrong, Appalachian State's good. They took them to overtime there in Happy Valley. By the way, Appalachian State plays tonight against Arkansas State. But what do you think of Michigan State at Penn State?
That'd be a good game tonight. Two good coaches. Also a good game tonight is North Oconee hosting Oconee in the volleyball.
Volleyball.
And this is the playoffs, man. They're playing 3 out of 5. Go Warriors.
There you go.
But anyhow, I think the bottom line in that game is the fact that Penn State, how have they handled the off week? You know, everybody being on their butt about losing that game. They should have won. They had it in tow against Ohio State. But Penn State, solid team to me, great quarterback, good running game. I just don't think their defense is out of sight.
Penn State's about a 2-touchdown favorite. We'll hit the SEC on the other side, but the final game I was going to ask about, you brought it up a moment ago. Michigan's about a touchdown favorite at home against Wisconsin Saturday night.
Yeah, they were back and forth to where they were going to have game day at Baton Rouge or up there, and I think the fact that, you know, LSU losing, they got that Big Ten atmosphere up there, you know, Michigan trying to get it humming. I think Wisconsin kind of been perplexing to me this year as far as their off and on. They don't really dominate anybody. Michigan, the same thing. They haven't really played anybody since Notre Dame. So I think it's going to be a game where whichever quarterback plays the best, Hornibrook for Wisconsin or Shea Patterson, whichever guy does the best job will probably win that one.
Do you think, because you've got some, you know, at least some insight from when you worked with ESPN, do they take into account, like, when they go to game day, oh, we don't want to go to Baton Rouge because that's the CBS game, or do you?
Well, they do a little bit, but not as much if it's a big difference maker. I mean, like last week, Fox had the OU-Texas game, but they still went to Texas.
Yeah.
But they like to promote all day long the fact that that's their game, you know, mm-hmm. ABC. They're looking at the numbers. There's no question about that.
I mean, to me, it's like, all right, Wisconsin-Michigan is on ABC Saturday mm-hmm. night. If I'm ESPN, it's like, well, that's where I'm going.
Oh, yeah, and it makes it easier, too, because, you know, you do game day. You've got Kirk Herbstreit already there, so you don't have to, like, fly him somewhere else, which I've had to do before.
Yeah, Kirk's on that wheels up, and there's other people that go with him, too, you know.
A lot of people.
The Taylor girl and then Chris Felica. You know, he's a stat man. He does a good job. But I think it's just –
What about the bear?
He's a good man, that bear.
the bear?
I tell you what, he's a walking encyclopedia of fact.
Yeah.
You can ask him anything. Of course, he can look it up quick, but he knows it too. I mean, when I was up there, I got to know him because he was a big Miami. He went to Miami. He's a big Miami fan. He's always busting me about OU losing to Miami and – but he was good to me. He always put some really good researchers working with me. You know, it's like having a good defensive coordinator.
That's right.
I had good guys looking up stuff for me.
It is funny how coaches are better coaches when they have good players, too.
Good
players
that.
And, hey, that's for sure.
Because you can't win with bums.
I like that statement.
That's one of our all-time favorites that you dropped on us.
Not only bum players, but bum kids. They're going to let you down. They're going to make mistakes off the field too.
Yeah, and sometimes you can get that feeling right away when you're recruiting them too, can't you?
I tell you,
and the parents.
Oh yeah, you go in there, you see see the way they act around people, and I always worry about some kid when I go to see him and he, you know, doesn't have a respect for the other people around him.
Yeah.
That always worries me a little bit. But talking about the bear, a good story on that was one of the first studio appearances. How long we got here?
I got
a really rock and roll. One of the first studio appearances I made was I was in there with Reese Davis, and we were doing an ESPN 2 game. And back then, ESPNU didn't have a lot of people to work their games as far as halftime. So a lot of times we had to do halftimes on games that we weren't really covering, you know. and usually you knew which ones they were, but we ended up with one where some team in Louisiana was playing Army. And about 2 minutes before we were going on for, you know, we knew we were going to do a halftime, but we thought we were doing another one. He said, okay, we're going to do Army in Louisiana. Maybe it's Louisiana Tech. I said, God, what's the score? You know, and the reason. So I get this guy that Bear set me up, and this guy gives me a couple of things, and Reese says, "Well, Coach, what do you think about the first half?" I promise you, I hadn't seen any on it. I didn't know one thing about it. But the guy said Army had really done a good job with ball control in Louisiana, and turned the ball over. I said, "Well, hey, second half, we got to see Army continue to keep the ball away from it. And Louisiana Monroe's got to do a really good job on these turnovers." And I hadn't seen one play of it.
But, you know, that's funny. With Army, you could probably say that just about every game. Yeah. I saw they lead the nation in time of possession at 40 minutes per game. Yeah. But that's what they want to do.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're running a wishbone then, but that's true. Army's, Jeff's done a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff Munkin has done a good job up there. And, you know, it looks like Georgia Tech's hitting their prime now, too. You know, they got 66 on Louisville the other night. So,
what about Paul Johnson saying, yeah, I've been wanting to hang the number on Brian Van Gorder for a long time?
Is that what he said?
Well, not in those words, but that's basically what he said, because he's been offended about what Van Gorder said about the offense when he took the Georgia Southern job back in the mid-2000s.
That's a good,
tried to change the offense.
Sometimes that stuff comes back to haunt you. And then, you know, some people have used Van Gorder as a consultant about helping to stop Fishbone and stuff. But, boy, they just assaulted them the other night.
Oh,
it was ugly. And, you know, if you coaching the wishbone like I did, if you got a good feel what the other team's doing, it's like anything. If you go to the line and you're having to read somebody every time, you're going to make some mistakes. But if you know what that guy's doing before you even take the snap, and you've done that every day in practice for your whole life, and you know that this guy is going inside and you don't even have to think about it, and you're going to the second level, it's Katie barring the door, man. And I never will forget what Switzer used to say. The reason we run that play 1,000 times is because 999 is not enough.
I like that.
And that's
that's
why you run all those technique plays with the bone. You can run it in your sleep. And we had one of our players at OU pass away this weekend, Carl Cabanis, who was a really good player for us. And this guy sent me a clip of him catching a pass against Nebraska last night, and I was relaying to that. You think about so many plays in the game. We were down 17-7 against Nebraska in 1987, both teams undefeated with 3 minutes to go, 17-7, and we had the ball on our own 30-yard line. We ended up winning 20-17. Miraculous, unbelievable. Keith Jackson. Hey, this is Keith Jackson running down the sideline. Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, Nelly.
Well, he got that ball one-handed.
Coach, when we come back, we're going to sprint through the SEC and maybe a couple of other games as well.
Yeah, let's go to the SEC.
All right, 9:36. We are back on the morning show. We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnston along with you here. Coach Donnan in the studio with us for his normal Tuesday chat. Without any further ado, it's time to dive in here, Dave.
You got that right.
The slate of games.
Yeah. Let's hit a couple of emails real fast.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll hit the slate of games. So, yeah, we're going to have to roll through all of this here. Tony was asking about Solomon Kindley. Apparently, he'll be okay to go on Saturday.
Yeah, anytime you know have an offensive lineman get something wrong with his lower body, it always worries me as a coach. You know, Solomon, tough kid. The fact that he's would be able to go out and prove himself this week's going to be the whole deal. Can you sustain yourself and work and practice? Because it's going to be a physical game. They got some big guys up front. And I thought Hill came in and did some really good things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been playing center more than he has guard. But
you're very high on him, too.
I like Hill. I like Salyer, too. But hopefully he'll be able to make it. And then, you know, our center had some trouble, Galliard, a little bit with his hand. But, you know, the one great compliment that we got from Coach Ogeron is, boy, I really like that center, man. He's the best guy we've played against. He can really he does a really good job for him.
The Coach O impressions are just always awesome. Keith and Winder says, who's worse, Louisville or Arkansas?
Well, I don't know about that. That's probably a toss-up. Both of them have really, trending downward. I think Arkansas's defense might be maybe a little better than Louisville's, but I think that would definitely be a toss-up game if both of those two played.
They've both played Alabama.
I don't think Arkansas probably is good on offense as maybe Louisville is.
Petrino, I mean, he's got that big contract, though, doesn't he, as far as, like, what is his status there?
Yeah, he's got a big buyout. And, yeah. Plus, he's got a deal where he has a local motorcycle dealership that he sponsors.
Coach. Oh, that's wrong. Stevie T says, when you're recruiting and you've got a guy who is a high school quarterback, but you can tell that ain't going to be his position on the next level, even though he would be good enough to play like defensive back or wide receiver. He says, at what point, when you're a coach, do you need to, you know, change that position? Or I guess he's saying, at what point can a top D1 school decide a kid needs to change a position before being offered a scholarship? I think that's what he's saying here.
Well, usually the best athlete on, if you don't have just a pure drop back quarterback, usually the best athlete in high school, they coach would put him at quarterback. And, you know, I think if a guy doesn't have the skill to be a D1 quarterback, you tell him as a recruiter, look, you know, we like your athleticism. We'd like to have you come, but we'll probably play you in another position. I know at North Carolina, we used to do that a lot. We had one time, we had six high school quarterbacks we signed one year with the idea only two of them are going to be quarterbacks, and the other four played other positions. But back then, people played a lot of more both ways than they do now. You know, usually guys are pretty play on offense or defense. But the biggest thing in recruiting, I think, is be straightforward with the guy. You know, tell him what it's going to be like, because if you tell him one thing and then when they come here you do something different, it's going to come back to bite you, because the players are going to tell the recruits, you know, that the coach isn't straight with them. But I think that's one of the biggest factors in Kirby's success is he works these guys hard, but they know that he's got their best interest in graduating, doing all the things that any coach or family, I mean, any high school coach or parents, family, or whatever it might be, wants to see in a coach, because he's going to be straight up with you.
All it takes is one disgruntled player to say a bad thing or two, and a guy in recruiting.
Yeah, usually teams that are losing have a lot more disgruntled guys than teams that are winning.
All right, Coach, you ready to zip through the SEC
here? Let's go through it.
All right, we already mentioned Missouri and Alabama. We'll get to Georgia and LSU in just a moment. Four other games in the conference. Starting out, number 14, Florida at Vanderbilt. Does Vanderbilt catch the Gators in a good place?
Yeah, I think they got a really good situation there, but I'm disappointed in Vanderbilt's personnel. I thought they were going to be better. After looking at them on the hoof, I don't think Vanderbilt's near as talented as I thought they might be, and that makes me wonder how good Notre Dame is. But you got to give Florida credit. They got some really good, early in the year when they lost to Kentucky, Jefferson and then one other guy on defense didn't play. And they got those guys back. They got some good guy edge rushers, and they, you know, athletically on defense, not real big, but, and then they're getting the most out of their offense with some different, you know, formations, and they really scheme you. But I think Vanderbilt can play them pretty close, but, you know, Florida's talent level seems to be more.
Line there is 7. Number 21, Auburn, coming off a rough game against Mississippi State, hosting Tennessee, who was on a bye last week, and Auburn is favored by about 17.
You know, I just don't know where Auburn's going to create the offense, but certainly their defense couldn't stop the run. I don't see that kind of powerhouse running game from Tennessee, but I think Tennessee's going to continue to progress. They got a little bit of a shot in the arm because they played us fairly close, and they've had a week off to look at what they can do and what they can't do. You know, as a new coach, having a off week early in the season like that helps you a little bit, because maybe you can redirect yourself, whereas if you had it the 9th or 10th game,
yeah,
it would be too late. But maybe they might make a change at quarterback. I don't know if they'll put that Chris kid in there, but overall, they just got to stop shooting themselves in the foot. Way too many penalties, way too many lost yardage plays. And defensively, I think they're pretty solid, though, at Tennessee. I think Tennessee's got a really good shot against Vanderbilt and some teams like that. But Auburn, you know, got too much personnel for them.
Can you imagine 20 years ago if you had just made that statement? I think Tennessee's got a good shot against Vanderbilt. It's just incredible, isn't it, how things have changed.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It really is.
Texas A&M. Heading over to Columbia. Today's Jimbo Fisher's birthday today. Texas A&M's favored by 2.5.
I'm surprised he's 53. I mean, I thought he was younger than that. But, you know, he's had an illustrious career to this point. I mean, he's done a lot of good things, and he's got a heck of a program that he's taken over as far as support. We'll see what happens. But I think they got the firepower to really challenge South Carolina. You saw what we were able to do pounding them. And
yeah.
They're going to have trouble with Mon, but at this point, the thing that helps A&M, they're pretty battle-tested. They've already played Clemson, they played Alabama, they played an undefeated Kentucky team. I mean, this team's seen a lot for, you know, to be playing their 7th game of the year. What's the line on that one?
2.5. A&M's favored by 2.5.
You know, I think South Carolina kind of stole one last week, but, you know, they're tough at home. But I think A&M is probably the better team.
All right, is this the pillow fight of the week, Ole Miss at Arkansas?
It's definitely a pillow fight because this is going to be 7-on-7. I mean, both these teams are going to throw the ball all over the yard. But what's the line on that one?
Ole Miss -6 and over-under is 70.5.
Woo!
Yeah.
I got to take Ole Miss in that game just because Arkansas has not been very good on defense. But,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, all of a sudden Arkansas thinks they're better than they are. I don't know. I just think I really like Ole Miss's offense at this point.
I know it's not the SEC, but Tech's hosting Duke Saturday afternoon. Tech coming off that big Friday win over Louisville.
You know, Tech's got it going, and they've had trouble with Duke over the last few years. But the thing about Duke, you know, lost their quarterback early in the year, and I really was surprised that they – got handled like they did by Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago. But should be a very interesting game. I think certainly Paul Johnson's got his team playing a lot of confidence after that. You scored 66 points and could have scored more. You got to feel pretty good about what they 3-3 right now.
They are 3-3.
Who all they got left beside us that you think they're going to be underdog to?
Well, they still got to play Coach Rick, right? So they still got that one to deal with.
They got Miami,
they've already played
Clemson. They got probably play Virginia Tech on Thursday night. They always do that.
Yeah,
so,
it seems like one of those. I'll find their schedule here in just a second, but it does seem like one of those where they don't play on a Saturday. All right, so they've got after Duke, they had a bye week. They go to Virginia Tech, go to North Carolina, host Miami, host Virginia, and come here.
Well, you know, you got to think they could get at least 6 wins, maybe.
Get them back to a bowl game. Well, Coach, we got about 3 minutes or so. All right, keys to the game, Georgia and LSU. A man is sitting here. By the way, the three of us have combined for a win in LSU, although it's just Coach Donnan. But anyway.
Sounds good. We're all in the room.
That's right. So, Coach, you've won down in Baton Rouge, even at nighttime.
Yeah,
this game's at 3:30, but let's talk about the keys to the game.
You know, I think one of the real keys for us is just our coaching staff knows how to get teams ready for big games. And part of being in a physical battle like that is the mental part of it, being mentally fresh, you know, from a standpoint knowing your assignments, knowing your techniques. I talk about it all the time. You can relate it to going in to take a test if you're a student. And you've had the background, and you know the material, and you go in, and you're really relaxed, and you do a good job on the test as compared to being not working at it and being confused, and the questions are a lot harder because you really hadn't prepared. I think our team will be extremely prepared. This is the kind of team that Kirby Smart's MO over the years coaching at Alabama, coaching here, a team that plays tighter formations. You know, we will be able to use our schemes a little bit more to stop their running game than you use schemes when they're running spread teams. So I think that'll help us a little bit. I like our offense matchup against our receivers, against their DBs, because they got good DBs, but they don't have. I think they're going to have a hard time playing us man, which is their MO. So hopefully we can get some big plays there. Our kicking game continues to be outstanding. And, you know, once you assume a role of being a title contender like we have, you have to, with that, you have to have the presence of mind to understand what it's all about. And one of the things is you're going to get the best shot from people when they play you. So we got to be ready for take a few blows and understand there's going to be some peaks and valleys. We hadn't had a lot of adversity, but remember that sign I talked about, no mental errors, penalties, or busts. That's going to be big. And hopefully we can make a lot of first downs where we can get more plays. You know, we hadn't run a lot of plays this year. I mean, we ran a lot of big plays last week, but we need to keep the ball and get some long marches on them. And I really like Swift coming on strong. I like Godwin coming back like that. And our tight ends are starting to surface. I think we've been laying in the weeds, man. I think we've just been sitting around waiting for this game. I like our shot. And I'm not being overly optimistic. I'm a realist, but I know what this team's capabilities are, and I feel like we're getting ready to put the pedal to the metal.
And I'll tell you what, Georgia plays some good games down there. When Georgia has played this team on years that end in eight, it's usually ended up with a W.
I like that, years and end in eight.
Yep,
right?
Yep. So 2008 was the game where Darryl Gamble had the pick sixes, and the 98 win, the big one there that you guys had, Coach. So hopefully George will keep it going.
End in eight and out the gate.
That's right. All right, Coach, always great to see you. We will be back along together in the studio Friday night for University Tire and Automotive Bulldog Friday.
Gordo's cheese dip.
We'll tell Stephen Lang we need some Gordo's cheese dip. You got that right.
Hey, I'm just telling you right now, Coach O's in there in their staff meeting right now. And he's saying, I tell you, what are we going to do? We stopped this one guy, they put this other guy in. They put this guy in, then they put this other guy in. What are we going to do? I don't know if we can go Tigers or not.
There we go. All right, Coach, great to see you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.